We've been studying the book of Proverbs in our church, specifically Proverbs chapter 2. We're not going to go there this morning. On the importance of hearing God's word, let me gather my thoughts in English. Incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart unto understanding. Not just ready to hear, but ready to apply our hearts to what we hear this morning. Even last night, thank you, Brother Pat, for that. Brother Don, thank you. I've been fed. This morning, if you will, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So is there any of you having a matter against another? And go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between the brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, O Lord. Thank you for the songs we sang already, Lord. Thank you, you've given them to your church. O Lord, how wise thou art, O Lord. The only wise God, our Savior. To you, Lord, belongs the majesty, the kingdom, and the power. Thou alone art God. And Lord, we are depending upon you this morning, O Lord. Open our understanding. May we be as Samuel, who said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth." Father, I pray, forgive us our shortcomings. And Lord, would you please bless the hearing and the preaching of your word for Christ's sake. Amen. I'd like to borrow from verse number 9 through 11. I'd like to talk to you this morning on deception, the risks and dangers associated with it. Deception, the risks and dangers associated with it. Namely, what Paul says in verse 9, be not deceived. I'd like to look from this verse number 9, establish truth, the deviation from the truth, the consequences of erring from truth, and the threefold manner in which God secures us. Now, I'm not going to get through all those points. Let's consider what he says in verse number 9, know ye not. Here we have established truth. He says, be not deceived. And that word deceived means to roam from safety, to roam from truth. He uses it in the book to the Galatians when he says so in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, he says, so be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. To be misled and to be led into error, to be cheated, to believe what is false or disbelieve what is true. Be not deceived, says the Apostle Paul. Know ye not. Herein is established truth. Verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is absolute truth. This is uncompromising and unchangeable truth as our God. As Brother Pat explained, the unchangeable, the immutable God. So is His truth. It's settled in heaven. It's immutable because it proceeds from God Himself, pure and undefiled. Revealed from faith to faith. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's revealed from heaven. It's revealed in the gospel. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Herein lies the evil man's trouble and anguish, an accusing conscience and guilt because of the knowledge of the retribution for sins against God's law. How do we change the unchangeable? How do we change that which cannot be changed? How do we change God, if you will? Well, perhaps just proclaim there is no God as fools proclaim. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are abominable. They've committed wicked works. How do we change the unchanged? That's the question that faces the unrighteous. Because if there is no God which is righteous, then there is no righteous law. And then if there is no righteous law, then righteousness is not required in my manner of life. It doesn't matter. After all, there's difference of opinions, isn't there? After all, there's different religions. After all, there's different philosophies, made up lies, to try to conceal the punitive retribution for man's sinful action. But I remind you what the text says. Be not deceived. There's excuses. Man excuses man. Man exalts man. Man trusting in man. But I'm going to tell you this morning, truth cannot be changed. The scripture says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Philosophies and secular education have tried to change God's truth. We have evolved, they claimed. We are no longer in the dark ages. We are in the age of reason and intellect. There's quantum theories in our universities. America has spent millions of dollars in education. Yet, let me say this morning, our public schools are more like prisons than an education facility. Yes, they are. You would think that guns and knives and metal detectors would be only for the prisons, drugs, rapes, and gangs. But that's going on in our public schools, USA 2010. We should be the most educated. We should be the most advanced, most righteous people according to the money we spent in education. We should be leading the world in example, not economic, but righteous living. Our land cannot tolerate more of an unrighteous living. We lead the world. Yes, we lead the world. But it is in how to live in an ungodly manner. Thus the message, be not deceived. Know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. According to our money spent, we should be leaders. But we see in our nation the rapid growth of unrighteousness. Judgment and truth are cast out. Wisdom, beloved, is departed from our executive, judicial, and legislative branches of our government. There's laws to protect the lawbreakers. Sad to say, but much money spent, has not changed human nature. Education cannot change man. Education, beloved, cannot tame human nature. We bring an aborigine. We may bring a tarahumara from Mexico. And yes, they're worshiping false gods. Yes, they're worshiping. They may be polytheistic. And we educate them. And now what? Now they say, there is no God. I've been educated. That's the conclusion of the human mind. And I was talking to Brother Gary. We went to New York one time. And I said, Brother Gary, take me to the Bronx. And he said, no, I will not, Brother Joe. I will not. And he was scared to take me to the Bronx. Why? Why? I mean, there's some areas here in San Antonio, Little Mexico, right around the corner, that we dare not go at night. We dare not go during the day. Why? If we're educated, why? Africa with her wild and wild beasts is safer than some areas in our nation. We can see Mars. We can travel to the moon. We can figure amazing things through technology. But man cannot be figured out. Man cannot be understood. Why does he use his reason? Why does he use his intellect? Why does he use his desires to depart from God instead of seeking God? My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for his treasures, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord. Then you'll understand why we get all excited about God. Because he's changed our nature. He's changed our heart. What we hate it now, we love. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day long. There are gangs, brethren, from California to New York. There's from Texas to Chicago. Organized men who never studied business, who never studied psychology, who never studied sociology. They're from the barrio. These men run businesses better than men with degrees. Why? Isaiah says, they're wise to do evil. They're well established. They're masterminded. They're cold, ruthless, and they have no value for human life. This is the USA. We're not talking about Mexico with its cartel. We're not talking about the Zetas or the other cartels around Nuevo Laredo. We're talking about here, USA. Wake up. What has happened? Why is all of this in this country? There are dysfunctional families, which is the norm. Divorce rates high, drug use, child abuse, fornication, cheating, lying, saving the endangered species while killing our unborn babies. Homosexuality. We have forsaken God's law, and doing so, our nation is turning to Sheol. Psalm 9, please, verse 17. Psalm 9, verse 17. This is our consequences for leaving God's law. Psalm 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. So how did it happen? If we have this established truth, if we have, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, then where comes this deviation from? When did it originate? Well, it came from the father of lies. He's a father of lies. He's a murderer from the beginning. So it can be self. You can deceive yourself. Or Satan can deceive people. How is that? Well, we'll look at it in a bit. It may be secular, in a secular manner, or in a religious manner. Oh, yes. Philosophies and vain babblings have slain their millions. But religion has slain its 10 billions, Brother Joe. And I'm not talking about the gurus. I'm not talking about those weirdos. I'm talking about nominal Christianity with its easy believism. I mean, I have people, brother, plain text. That's not what it means. That's not what it's saying. But that is what it's saying. Paul establishes, know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Woe that day to say, I was deceived. Well, not this day. Because you're hearing truth. Not this time. There is no excuse. That's the lament you don't want to hear. I heard truth, but I was deceived. Hearken unto wisdom. Hearken unto understanding. Call her your sister, your kinswoman. Say unto her, thou art mine. Embrace her. She shall preserve thee. Get wisdom. Get understanding. And above all things, get understanding, says the Proverbs. She has killed her beast. She has prepared her tables. And to the simple she says, come ye, eat. Come here. So deviation from the truth. Where's this root? Because religion has not helped. Satanic influence in this area is the scheme to deceive men and women. So-called ministers joining hands with other religions of the world. Preaching lies to people. Accepting what God rejects and condemning what God does not condemn. Rejecting and condoning, what God condemns. They will receive their reward. They have sold themselves as Balaam for the wages of unrighteousness. Satan has deceived the minds of men and angels since the fall. Angels thinking, now here, angels thinking they could overcome, Brother Pat, the self-existing one, the omnipotent one, the almighty one. Let us come, says the Psalm number 2. Let us join together. Let us cast his bands asunder. Let us all join. Come on. Let's all gather from Adam unto the last day. And let's come against this mighty God. See if we can defeat him. There's, brother, if what ignorance is bliss, is what they said. They said, well, there's power in number, not against God. One third of the angels thought they could overthrow the Holy One. But think, they're thinking they could overthrow God. Listen what Isaiah has to say about this deceiver in Isaiah 14, please. In Isaiah 14 and verse 12. In Isaiah 14, verse 12, he says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And it still works, Brother Pat. I know you were in the Mormon church, and that's what they teach. You'll be like God. Be not deceived. The unrighteous should not inherit the kingdom of God. But here we see His work. He deceived angels. He deceived men. And you can look at Revelation when He drew a third of the angels. These were perfect beings. Didn't know what sin was. Didn't have the sinful nature as we are born with. And they were easily persuaded to gather against El Shaddai, Elohim. We can throw him out. No, listen what it says, verse 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sight of the pit. Be not deceived. Satan has been deceiving men. Men thinking they could be as gods. It worked. It works. It still does. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. I mean, if it still works, why change it? Why do you think we have millions following that false religion? You should be as gods, knowing good and evil. Brother Joe, I'm not a poet like you are, but I wrote a little rhyme. Brother Joe likes to write poems, as you know. I wrote a little rhyme. Would you listen? He got into their heads. He got into their hearts. Foolish angels, foolish men, listening to Satan's harp. Established truth they once knew, but were convinced it was not enough. Too restricting. There must be more. I would be free without a ruler on the throne. I will be like God, and God will be like me. The God of religious zealots and antiquated preaching is not for me. Prepare to meet thy Maker, I say unto you. Prepare for eternity, because that's where you will be. Satan and his angels, murderers and liars, disobedient unbelievers, self-righteous, all accompanying thee. A religion which promotes unrighteousness brings God to your level. One who agrees with our sins, one who promotes transgressing any of God's commandments, has his roots in the father of lies and murder, Satan himself. Let me say that again. A religion which promotes unrighteousness brings God to your level. And one who agrees with our sins, one who promotes transgressing any of God's commandments, has his roots in the father of lies and murder, that is, Satan himself. If it's not according to this book, it's because there is no light in them. Is it true? That's what, right? Is that what it says? Be not deceived. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And he says clearly, such were some of you. But we'll get into that if the Lord permits. Satan is the deceiver and the father of deception. Using whatever means, he convinces men and women and children to sin against light. I know what it says. But they sin against light. They rebel against truth. They conceal instead of confessing our sins. Men and children with bright minds commit horrible acts. They deviate from the truth. They murder. They lie. They commit adultery. They're drunkards. Brother John, brother, I don't know if you'll agree, but even Christians become involved in behavior which they had previous to their conversion. Oh, yes, they do. Why? They hearken to the harper. They hearken to the sweet music. It's not enough. Christianity is not enough. It's too restricting. That's for somebody else. There must be something else. And you know, let me tell you this. Wake up. There is something sweet about sin. Oh, if you say no, there isn't, then you're lying to yourself. You've been deceived. Sin is sweet. Why would it attract so many? Because it's sweet. But the end thereof. Consider the end thereof. Is the ways of death. So Christians, they become involved in behaviors. And even some they did not have prior to their conversion. He's a master at puppeteering men's minds. He does so through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There's no need to change the strategy. Here's a strategy. Hide the lure. Hide the lure. How great fish have lost their lives because of a small hook. They fight, but once they're hooked, you're coming in, brother. You're coming in. How great fish have lost their life because they could not stay away from the lure. I mean, some of us are fishermen, right? When there's clear water, you throw the bait there and they just come and they just nibble from the bottom. I got one. No, you don't. And they're just playing with you. You can't play around like that with Satan. And see how close I can get to the edge right before, I transgress against God. This is settled right here in heaven. And see how close I can nibble and not get hooked. They could not stay away from the lure. The bait tempting. The concealed hook. And this strategy will continue to work. There's no need to change it. Men are easy prey because they have lost their reason. That's satanic deception. Another way of being deceived is by secular religion. Secular means. For consideration, consider 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says in verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Listen to what he says. Deceiving and being deceived. We look at now this secular point. If it's established truth, what can we do to change man? What can we do so man does not believe what the Bible says? This is broad. But the basic principle is this. Let's leave God out of it. Let's just leave God out of it. As Brother Pat said, just get yourself out of your bootstraps. Because man is the ultimate being. One of their philosophers said this. Man is a measure of all things. That sounds so bright, ain't it? Yeah, people sit at university saying, wow! Where did that Dr. So-and-so get his brightness? Man is the measure of all things. Man is the ultimate being. Man has the final reason. Now is more important than tomorrow. Pleasure seeking. Because if there is no God, then there's no consequences for our actions. If the pursuit of my happiness and my pleasure is my one desire, Brother Joe, then they say, well, you're all right. That's okay. Then anything's permitted. Then there's no consequences. Because you can be one of the list. You can be a drunkard. You can be a homosexual. You can be one of the list there. Go back and read it in 1 Corinthians 6. You can be one of those, and it doesn't matter because that's what gives me pleasure. That's what gives me pleasure. And who are you to tell me? Your opinion is just as good as mine. Yes, that's what it is. Humanism. Where does it start? In Genesis 11. Genesis 11. Verse 2 says, and it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they made brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And that's something. He came down to see it. He didn't have to come down to see it. He's omniscient. But let me come down and see what you got there, boy. The Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. There's your roots. Just use your imagination. Let Willie Boy just exercise his natural birth ability. Just let him run wild. Because you can't tame Tarzan. Just let him run wild. If he wants to yell at you, let him yell at you. Because that's his pleasure. No wonder, right, we have our nation in the state that it is now. Let me say, this is ancient history. I'm not as old as some of the preachers that are preaching here, and I thank Brother Pat for his wisdom. But Brother Pat, when I was a young one, my dad used to tell the teacher, if he does anything wrong, see, you got the right to whip him. That was my dad. And if the teacher whipped me, I didn't come home and tell my dad. I didn't, Brother Pat. They got worse, brother. See, you respect the teachers. You respect the police. You respect your elders. Where's that at? Taking God out of our nation. Humanism. Man is the center of all. Humanism is its own religion. Man worshiping man. Denying God. And the best, of course, they got to have some rules. You know, they got to have something. It's a code of ethics. You know that, brother? It's a code of ethics. That's not ethical. That's ethical. But that in itself is not absolute. It can't be. It can't be absolute. It can't be unchangeable. Because it's based on circumstances. It's based on experience. It's based on relativism and other man-made isms. It's unstable as water. Trusting in the arm of the flesh man trusting in man. There is no need to be saved from any consequences because there is no future eternal consequences, they said. Yeah, that's what man found out. There's no future consequences, so boy, go ahead, live it up. Go ahead, eat, live, and be merry. Or as Paul would say, the belly for the meat and the meat for the belly. But God shall destroy both it and them. Man trusting in man. What do they teach us? Oppositions of science. Timothy calls it right, vain babblings. There is no substance to them. This is taught in our schools. Population control. Because we don't want a lot of poor people running around. You know, they have a lot of babies. We got to control them. We got to control them. Why? Where did this come from? What is this bright idea? We got to control the poor people because, you know, it's evolution. If there's more rich people, less poor people. I mean, they're weak anyhow. Just let them die. Let's get rid of them. Guess why? Because there's no creator. And there's no consequences. There's no image of God. We're like animals. But with a little bit of reason. Where do we get the reason? Where do we get our conscience? Where do we get guilt? Well, Job answers that, right? We don't need to turn there. Where do we get affection? Where do we get love? Well, how do we know what's right and what's wrong? How does a baby know? How do they know? Because man was once in paradise. And it's written there, thou shalt not, whether it be lie or steal. Little Johnny knows. But now left to himself, he will bring ruin. But he knows. Man rather believe man than God. Man has become worse than animals. I was reading this morning Balaam again. Amazing. I don't know what's amazing. I mean, there's two things. I mean, there's a lot of amazing things there. Let me say that. I mean, I would be scared if the donkey started talking to me. I would get scared, brother. But did you know what the donkey says? She reasons with Balaam. She does, Brother Joe. Was I ever want to do this in times past? I don't know what's worse, that or the fact that you're carrying a conversation with a donkey. And the donkey has reason. Because God, the Word of God came to the donkey, or however it's phrased in the English version. The beast became the animal. Excuse me, the beast became the prophet. And the prophet became the beast. Where's the reason? I tell my children, use reason. Attain, apply, get wisdom. This is it right here. We're like animals. Noah. No, we're not. We had a, Brother Joe, we had a stray dog. Brother Pat, you know that country, everybody throws their dogs away. We had a female chow mix. Came through our door, we fed it. There it is. It won't leave. Learn from that. That's right. That's right. You're fed here, why leave? It's good. It's good here. I ain't leaving. I know what's out there. Why would I leave? But I learned another lesson. One morning we hear her whimpering. We didn't know I was pregnant. We didn't know. Had a little baby. One baby. That was whimpering. We look outside and the dog is pushing it with a snout, licking it, trying to bring it back to life. That's a stupid animal. It doesn't know. We can get it away from her. Trying to revive it, and she would try to bring it back. Finally, we called her out, took it, buried it. She was still looking for it. Where's man's reason? Where's man's wisdom? No, they'd rather believe man than God. So we look at our scripture, they would say, there is no kingdom. After all, there is no kingdom. That's just for the religious people. They have to have something to hold on. They're weak-minded. They have to have something to hold on. So we look at the text, they'll say, there is no kingdom. There is no kingdom of God. And if there is no kingdom of God, then your pleasure and the pursuit of happiness, that is the ultimate goal. Go for it, boy. You can be one of these, 1 Corinthians 6:9. You can be a fornicator. You can be an idolater. You can be an adulterer. You can be an effeminate. You can be abuser of themselves with mankind. You can be a thief. You can be a covetous. You can be a drunkard. You can be a reviler. You can be an extortioner. And you still enter the kingdom of God. Well, they're wrong. Be not deceived. Self and self-esteem is the God of our age. And a soul without God and His laws is shipwrecked. So now allow me a little bit of time to touch about the deception which comes from man, that is, by religious means. Now this may seem contradictory. Religious mean religion, after all, isn't all religion leading to God? Isn't all avenues to God? No, the Bible says there is one God and there is only one mediator between God and man, and that man is Christ Jesus. There's only one way. There's only one truth. There's only one life, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Settle it. But religion must be the avenue and means whereby man communicates with God. And I'm not even talking about the other forms of worship. And the Bible declares there are idolatry. It may be sincere. It may even have a form of godliness. It may be popular. But they be blind leaders of the blind. John 4:20-24. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that man is Christ Jesus. But basically you see this, they may be polytheistic, they may be humanist, they may be naturalist, and they may include ancestor worship, Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, Islam, Shintoism, and other isms. There's abundance of religion. There's abundance of forms of worship. But their design is to deviate you from the truth. Right. Their design is to appease your conscience. Their design is to help man in troubled times. But Jeremiah is very clear. I'm not going to read it for the sake of time. Go read it. Jeremiah 10:1-16. Now, the abundance of religion proves that man has an innate perception. There's another life after death. Eternity is written in the hearts of men. This cannot be erased. Perception that creation is not an event which chance produced. The order of the earth, the seasons, the universe, natural laws, scientific laws, these are not the product of chance or luck. There must be, beloved, a God who did all this in the beginning. If we look at past civilizations, advanced or not, Roman, Greek, Egyptian, Sumerians, Babylonians, Aztec, Mayas, Incas, Africans, all worshiped strange gods, some stranger than others. Most civilizations were polytheistic. Most of their gods had attributes of wrath, anger, warlike, rainmakers. In the case of the Greeks, there were humanistic gods. Go read Acts chapter 10 and Acts 17. Paul says, you are not to think that the Godhead is like unto man. Neither is worshipped. The therapy, Brother Pat, that's what it is. The therapy that comes from worshiping. It makes you feel good. Well, Mr. Feelgood in California just in debt, what, like $55 million? Psalm 135. I'm going to close. Psalm 135, verse 15. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Woo! That's us. Amen. There, gods. Beloved, we're like men. All these religions have their origin in Genesis 10. I'm not going to go there. Man driven out of paradise. Man's depraved heart. Man's dependency upon God. Man's gregarious nature. All these contribute to why man loves religion. Let me say it again. Man driven away from paradise. Man's depraved heart. Man's dependency upon God. And man's gregarious nature, that is, we love to flock together, makes it easy. Makes it easy for man to seek religion. Because man doesn't have the answers. Man doesn't have the answers. Man doesn't have the answers. The soul needs answer. The soul was made by God. Man was made by God. And can only find rest when that soul returns to God. Psalm 116, please. Psalm 116. Verse 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and He helped me. Look at verse 7. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. And that rest, Brother Pat, is the Lord Himself. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Verse 8. Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. In the case of the Corinthians, let's go back, let's close. 1 Corinthians 6. I keep saying that, but I learned that from Brother Pat and Brother Joe. But their gods were like men. They would act like men. That thus the context here in Corinthians. They were men. their gods were like men. They would act like men. They would cater to men's passions. Their wisdom was not from above, but earthly, sensual, devilish. They would walk after their own lust. Their mouth speak great swelling words. Clash of the Titans. Man against the gods. One of their goddesses was Aphrodite or Venus, the goddess of love and beauty. The Greeks believed that after death, Hades, but there was really no consequences for the wages of sin. There's Hades, but after that, there's no consequences. So thus Paul writes this. What was the religion of that day? Sexual immorality, drunkenness, uncontrolled lust, emulating their gods, worshiping their gods. How convenient. Whatever their depraved hearts can imagine was used as means of worshiping their deity. Prostitution temples, sodomites, anything goes. But God intervened in their lives and radically changed them. Look what he says. How I love this verse. Verse 11. Such were some of you. Grace. God intervened. Paul takes God's sword, cuts through their pagan philosophies, and states, verse 9 and 10, know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you are washed. Yes, hallelujah. You are sanctified. And brother, I'm justified. Through that name, Brother Pat, which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Spirit of our God. That name, be not deceived. One day you're going to bow to that name. Yes. Satan and his angels and yourself, unless you repent, unless you come and trust Him, you'll be bowing and you'll be confessing, He's Lord. Why was I deceived? I reckon now He's Lord. But it would be too late unless you hearken to His word.